and welcome to the HR and Flow podcast. In this week's episode, we talk to Susan Heaton-Wright about presence, confidence, and creating your own executive voice in the workplace. Thank you, Susan, for joining us this afternoon. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Well, I train people to be the best versions of themselves when they communicate with others. I want them to be stars, for want of a better word, so that they are noticed and that they are respected for what they do and what they contribute in a conversation, whether that be one-to-one in a meeting, a podcast like this, or a presentation, or even public speaking. And what I do is to help people become more confident, to develop specific skills and develop experience, both with their speaking and with their non-verbal communication.
Thank you very much, Susan. Sounds absolutely fascinating stuff. Could you describe some of the most common issues that people come to you with, and what kind of impact are these issues having on their professional lives?
It's really interesting because I'm a natural introvert, although people often think that's not true, but it is. You often attract people that are like you, and so many of my clients are introverts. They're really, really good at their job, but they're just not cutting through all of the noise at a particular level, whether that's at a senior partner's level or senior managers or even in the C-suite. And they're perhaps not able to punch at their right level. They're punching below their natural weight, if we're going down the sporting analogy route. And so in those situations, maybe they miss out on promotion. They're not as visible as other people are, who are able to communicate and engage with other people more easily. It might be that if they are at a very senior level, they are possibly struggling to get stakeholders to back them and to have the confidence of their colleagues at that very senior level. Now, this could be caused by them speaking very quietly because they don't have much confidence. It might be with respect that they don't speak English as a first language. So they might be absolutely superb, but there's just that little barrier. Now, that might be from them just lacking a bit of confidence, or them not speaking clearly so that people can really engage with them. Those are two regular ways that people underperform in this area.
I see. So how would you go about tackling these more common problems, and what methods are you teaching people to manage these issues?
Okay. So one of the things that I've done with my own training practice is to identify five main areas in communication where you can potentially have an impact. And they are the preparation. So I prepared before this podcast, as I know you did. And that's a typical thing that can make you feel more confident immediately if you've put a little bit of thought into what you're going to say. The actual performance side, and that can be anything related to your body language, so your non-verbal communication, as well as, you know, how you deliver your message. Understanding your audience, because it might be that you are speaking to a particular group of people, but you might not actually appreciate what they want to get out of what you're saying. Or they might come from a different industry, or they might be a different generation age group. So, for example, recently I spoke at an event for tech ladies. Now, these were fantastically motivated, intelligent young women, but they were early 20s. And that might be slightly different to an audience that I might speak with normally. So I had to modify what I said and use different examples so that it still resonated with the audience. So that's an example of an audience. Content, well, I would like to hope that most people that I work with know their subject really, really well, but it's crafting it so it becomes really engaging for the audience. So no waffle, simple, to the point, thinking about the stories, thinking about the vocabulary that you use. And finally, you've got the voice. I've touched on the fact that some people speak quietly, some people speak with a strong accent, probably because they speak English as a second language. But creating a voice that people want to listen to, and a voice that is easy for people to listen to, because if it's difficult for people to listen to you, they will get distracted and listen to something else or find that their phone is more interesting. In with that, any good training person will agree with me that any training is a combination of developing skills, developing new skills and habits, developing opportunities for experience, and developing a positive mindset. And those three things are so interconnected. I've come across so many trainers that say it's all about mindset, but unless you feel that you're doing something well or you're developing those skills, you can't have a positive mindset, because there's that little voice that's saying, yeah, but, in the back of your mind. And you'd never say to a tennis player like Andy Murray, oh, it's all a positive mindset. He's still practicing his skills now that he's had his operation. He's still developing his technique. He's still working on his experience. And it's exactly the same for communications.
So when it comes to teaching people on how to work with these problems, you would take the three-step approach?
Always, yes. Any work that I do with a client, they fill in a pre-training form, and inevitably they say to me, oh, it was so useful because I was able to put down everything and I took some time to think about it. I realised that blah, 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 this was what was concerning me. And then together we work on a plan. And it might change, and I throw in lots of opportunities for them to push their experiences and to give them new challenges in with that. You know, we work on the mindset as well as the skills and as well as the experience. So it always goes hand in hand.
Thank you very much, Susan. So an area that I suppose we can all identify with is improving on our everyday communication. And yes. I would say that everybody can do some improvements along the way. So what would be your top three tips which we could implement now, shall I say?
Well, the first one is to listen. We live in a very noisy world where lots of people feel that they've got to have their say. And absolutely, you know, isn't it great that we all have an opportunity to express ourselves? However, just spending a moment to really listen to somebody else, we can learn something. That's my first one. Also, keep it simple. It can be really easy to think if we're saying something that we've got to live lots of examples and amble on and maybe go off the subject. But actually, keeping it simple can mean that other people, your audience will listen more clearly to you. They won't get distracted. And finally, the other one is to make your voice as easy as possible for other people to listen to. So if you're mumbling, if you're speaking, if say I've got lots of noise in the background here, or I spoke too fast, or I was distracting you with lots of these mannerisms like this, that would make it more difficult for other people to listen, to really engage and tune in to me. So those are the three points.
Thank you. And I suppose they follow suit with the areas that we should avoid as well in some respects. So if we had a presentation to do perhaps tomorrow, what would be the three things that we should avoid?
Well, using complicated jargon. You know, I've written a couple of blogs about this recently. You know, there are all of these buzzwords that we have. I think that Agile is one of the ones this year that keeps coming up. You know, what's wrong with flexible? But it can be really typical when you're in a specific industry. And of course, I come from the opera world. I know it's a few years ago since I was an opera singer, but within the music industry, there are very, very concise vocabulary words that if you're in that industry, it's absolutely fine. But we shouldn't limit ourselves to one particular type of jargon or vocabulary. So make sure that it's inclusive rather than exclusive vocabulary and language that you're using. And if necessary, use a simpler word. The second is not being concise. I think in a way I've touched on it, but it's very easy to think that you've got to fill the time with lots of words. And something that's short and concise and really clear is a very, very effective way to communicate. And the third one is doing a bit of preparation. So, you know, those people that wing it, and sometimes it works, and sometimes you start rambling. You start going off topic, and before you know, everybody's eyes are just rolling because you know that that person is winging it. Just spending 30 seconds with your notepad writing down three things that you want to contribute to a meeting makes a huge difference. And from a point of your personal brand, it shows that you're on topic.
Wonderful. Thank you, Susan. Such simple things, but so many of them we don't do properly, do we? So you're going to be joining us at the launch of Go Beyond, which is Neville Pritchard's latest book. And you were just saying that, you know, in the past that you have come from an opera singing background. So can we expect some opera singing sessions at the...
No, I wouldn't. You mean I'm not going to sing? No way. But one of the things that I've done quite a bit in the past is to energise groups. Perhaps after lunch, you know, that graveyard time at a conference or at the beginning of the day. And it sounds more scary than it is. It's the idea of us raising our energy levels through body percussion and a bit of singing. But I'm not expecting St. John's College quality of singing. This is about creating an immediate community like we saw at Twickenham on Saturday. And sorry that Wales lost. We were robbed. Neville will like that. We were robbed, weren't we, Neville? But when you go to Twickenham, when you go to the Principality Stadium, people come together and they will sing Swing Low. They'll sing Delilah. They'll sing Sweet Caroline. And there's nobody going around pointing at people saying, look, you just mime. No, you can't sing. But actually, what you can feel when you're singing with other people is real power. And science has revealed that your heartbeat starts to go into unison with everybody around you. How powerful is that? But it energizes you, get endorphins from it, and it can be a very, very positive way to start an evening such as this exciting evening with Neville and his book launch. But also at a conference, also if you're having a workshop day, to start it with that. And why not record it, and then everybody gets a copy of it and they feel great. So that's what it's about.
Well, I think it sounds absolutely fantastic. I'm very much looking forward to it. So
well, I hope you join in.
Our vibrations.
I hope you join in. I hope it's not me on my own.
Oh, no. I'll join in with you, Susan, if that is the case. But no, we'll make sure that everybody is there to enjoy themselves and everybody has their vibrations.
The songs that I use are actually world songs. There would be a song from a South African song and one from the Polynesian in island. So they're really inclusive and everyone can enjoy and join in at their own level.
Fantastic, Susan. We very much look forward to receiving you at our launch in May. And thank you very much, Susan, for giving your time up this afternoon.
That's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
You're very, very welcome. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you'd like to know more about the topics covered, head to our website, www.hrinflow.com, or alternatively, call us on 01280 823 702. To find out more about Susan and her work on creating an executive voice, visit the website in the description below. Thank you for listening.